Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10. Find that place. Find the 10th verse. Then stick your thumb there and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. And then over to Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I've got three texts for our message this morning. And we're going to preach by God's help on the subject of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness from these verses of Scripture. John 10, verse 10, first of all. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is the Lord Jesus talking here. I am come that they, who is they? My people and my church, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, to the book of 2 Corinthians, I want you to notice in John 10:10 that the Lord Jesus' subject is about having life and having it more abundantly. In chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians and verse 17, we read this. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want you to notice here that the apostle writes about the subject of liberty and where it's at. Now to the book of Romans chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. Let's read verse 5 and on down in order to set the context of these two verses. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, to set the proper perspective for these two verses here in Romans, in verses 7 and 8, I want you to understand that a modern-day word for the word blessed is happy. So I want you to notice that Romans 4, verses 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul is writing about the pursuit of happiness and how to get it and where to get it. Now, our Declaration of Independence, brothers and sisters, it states, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I've come to realize more and more lately that this great statement is both a precious gem of truth and a powerful reality that has the power to alter the lives of people who fully comprehend it. And I'm hoping that in this message, I can open up to you and declare to you what kind of people, which people fully comprehend the meaning of that statement. God has given us the right to live. Nobody has the right to take it except they do it by God-given lawful means. God's outlined in His Word how societies of men can get the right to take life, but beyond that, only God can give and only God can take a life. And even in the case where human cultures or societies pass judgment upon criminals within their culture and pass a judgment of death upon them, even they have become instruments of God when they follow God's rules about doing it. And so God, first and last, is the author of life and the taker of life. It's the great aspiration of people all over the world, I think. And I tend to agree with what President Bush said back when he was president, that men everywhere desire to be free. I don't think you can squelch that desire to the point that it ceases to exist. Now, I know we have dictatorships all over the world today that have so repressed and suppressed its people that those people are afraid to think about freedom of life. Nevertheless, I believe God put that in the breast of every man. Freedom from enslavement of any kind gives men the opportunity to act out and pursue the rights of liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Now, different cultures, I know, have different views on the definition of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But there's common ground, I think, among all people everywhere. The right to life, brothers and sisters, as a fundamental starting point, is, I think, to every human who's able to think, and every human who's breathing the breath of life, I think it is to them, each and every one of them, including us in this room, that this is all about having what God has given us, the capacity to have this human life and to be able to express this human life as God has given it to us. And liberty, I think, is seen by most people as the right to make choices about the direction that this life we have might take us, and the freedom that we enjoy in this life might take us, and to choose routes of freedom where we can benefit from the advantages that God has given us in the life that we live. And I believe the pursuit of happiness is viewed by most people as the right to choose the direction in which to go that will, if you will, result in finding a place of fulfillment and joy as an outcome of our pursuit of the kind of life we're living. I believe most people see pursuit of happiness as that way. Now, these are basic statements about life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And I want to suggest today to every one of us that for all the aspirations of men that they have to exercise life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, most of mankind simply misses the mark. And the reason for this is found in the Bible. The reason why so many folks miss the mark about having the real meaning of life, finding the real and following the path of the real liberty in life, and discovering happiness as something that we pursue and can find, I believe the reason or the direction for how to so discover these things is found in the Word of God. Now, so let's deal with these and think first of the inalienable right to life granted by the Lord. And the first thing that I think we ought to notice about God's unalienable right to life is that it has conditions. God has created this unalienable right for us with conditions. Now, let me just say first off that life is a very wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to excel in human achievement. It is what God has given us to express as a human being. We're here by the grace and the permission of God. And what we do with this life, we can do by the permission of God. But not every man works out the affairs of his life as God would have it done. Now, life for a human then is a space in time to show what he or she really is. That's what life is about. It's about showing, demonstrating to yourself and to others and to God, if you will, what you are and who you are. But life for a human being, brothers and sisters, first and last, we discover, occurs and exists for the glory and the pleasure of God. And that's where men miss the mark. The human being, the unregenerate human being, looking at his life, thinking about his life, deciding where to go with his life and what to do with his life, Without the light, the insight from God, we'll miss the mark and imagine that his life is his possession. That is something that he owns, that he has the right to do with as he pleases. And I want to tell you that you do have that right. You can do with it as you please. That's one of the things that God set in place when he gave each one of us life. You can do with it as you please. But it doesn't mean you have the right before God to do with your life as you please. You may not have such a right at all. Because as I said, we were given life for the glory and pleasure of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, when the hosts of heaven were praising the Lord and singing to the Lord, they said this about God, about the Lord, about Christ: "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things." Well, there wouldn't be any reason whatsoever for any divine being to receive glory and power and honor more than to have to recognize the fact that he created everything, is there? I mean, if he could claim a right to have all glory focused on himself, that would be it, that he made everything. And that's exactly what this host is saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a right, you're worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. But listen what he finishes, what this host finishes with: "And for thy pleasure they are and were created." And there you have it. Does that leave anybody out? Does that leave anything out? If we're talking about the virus that sometimes afflicts our bodies, does it have a right to do something or be something or follow something other than to glorify the Lord God of grace? I don't believe so based on that verse. The lowly maggot, does he have a right to do anything but what glorifies God? I don't think so, according to this verse. And certainly does the human being have any right to do anything other than glorify his God? I don't think so. And so we have been created for the pleasure of the great God of all grace. So life for a human being only has lasting meaning. It only really is life in the largest sense when it achieves the ends that were intended for it by the Lord, to please God. And that's why so many human beings miss the mark on what life is to be about, what it is all about. A life to which people have a right cannot be fully realized then if that is life that is alienated from God. We were given an inalienable right to life, but that life, that the level of life that God intended that we have and given us that life, can never be fully realized if we're alienated from God by sin and in a condition of a lost state. Now, the apostle sheds light on the reason this is true in a statement about the condition of unsaved people in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. This tells us more about why persons who have no knowledge of God, that are lost and undone, can never achieve to that level of glory that the life God gave us is supposed to achieve without this great truth. In Ephesians 4 and verse 18, he says about lost people, among the things that lost people have, they have this. They have the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What is he saying there about the human creature who is unsaved? that they have a darkened understanding. And we don't usually think about people that are lost, that have a normal brain function, and make it through school, and maybe even go through college, and maybe set up a business, or whatever. We don't usually think of them about having darkened understanding, do we? But the Scripture here says that they do. They have a darkened understanding. And so they lack something that would make life be on another plane, on another level. And they're alienated from the life, it says, of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Darkened understanding, ignorance. Now, you're never supposed to call somebody ignorant, are you? But here God says, there's a class of humans upon the earth that are ignorant. And that's those that have not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have, through ignorance, they are alienated from the life of God. And that is because blindness is in their hearts. Now, those people are all alive walking around here on the earth today, brothers and sisters. You meet with them every week in your workplace and around. You meet with people who fit this description perfectly. And if you looked at him, I'd say, well, they seem to be living right well. They're doing good. Yeah. They have life. Look at them. They're healthy. They're conversant. They can talk a good talk, and they can walk a good walk, and they've got a job, and they have a family, and so on and on we go, and we say, that's pretty much proof that they have a life going on. But the Bible says they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. They have a blindness in their hearts. Now let's just imagine for just a minute. You might apply this to yourself. You're locked up in a totally dark room. Four walls and a bed. There's nothing on the walls, no pictures, no form. It's just smooth walls, all four sides. And your food is stuck through a slot where you never get to see who's putting it in outside. And you don't see light coming in from outside. It's all dark, nothing going on in there except a place to sleep, and you can get your food on the tray, on the shelf, at the door a couple of times a day. And you live in that from the time that you're born, time that you're weaned, until you're grown. Live in that environment right there all your life. After growing up in an environment like that, how much would you know? What kind of perception would you have of the world? Now let's translate that to lost people. The person who's lost has no concept whatsoever of what is in the kingdom of God. All of the glories of it are just a big black room with four walls to him. He has no way of gaining access to that knowledge because he's blinded. He has ignorance because of his alienation from God. And in that condition, the only thing he knows about is what's out here. Oh yeah, he's aware of God. We've taught that and still do. But he has no concept of the glories that lie inside that kingdom that are within God himself. He's just in a dark room. He's learning what he can learn in the dark room. But how much is that? When you think about a lost person in that light, ask yourself, what kind of life is that? And when you start answering that, you realize what a stark difference there is between life from God and life of a human creature who has no glorious light from God. And so when you think about American folks having the inalienable right to life, and you realize that they're divided into two groups, and one of those groups are those in locked up in the dark room with no light and nothing but smooth walls on four sides. And the other group has entered into a kind of life where Christ has been made known to them, where they understand the power of God, the things of God, the glories of God, the blessings from God. Then you see the contrast between the pursuit of a life without the life of God and the pursuit of life with the life of God. What a contrast it is. And brothers and sisters, that's why I say most people miss the mark about this pursuit of life. Yes, they have an inalienable right to it, and God has shown them enough of the reality of His existence that they are not guiltless about God, but what they are is blind about God and blind about the wonder of being saved and belonging as a citizen of the kingdom of God, being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. They do not have that perception. And so, while they pursue life as an inalienable right, they have missed the mark. But nevertheless, it is God who has given this right. Now, Christ was explaining to Thomas about the way of salvation and about who he was as Christ in John chapter 14 and verse 6. And he said something that certainly sheds light on the source of that life. And we all of us that are saved by the grace of God this morning, we know where that source is. But I want to read this so that we'll realize that life in God is accessible and there's one source for it. Christ said to Thomas in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that pretty much sums up life in God. And so if men would discover how to truly pursue the unalienable right to life, let's suggest that they look to God through Christ, or look at the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who has the source and is the source of life, because He is. I am the life. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, old brother John sums it up so very well. He says there, whoever he is, doesn't matter, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John understood that the life God gave and the unalienable right to life that God gave was available to every man. But men who never grasp the truth of life in the Lord Jesus Christ never understand what it means to pursue the true and real life. Now, I said we were preaching about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And our second text verse in 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." The right to liberty, brothers and sisters, also exists for a purpose that's higher than the one who possesses that liberty. Let me say that right at the start as we think about liberty. Liberty is, just briefly, is the condition of being free from restriction or control. And liberty is the right and the power to act or believe or express oneself in a manner that one chooses to do so. It is also the condition of being physically and legally free from confinement or servitude or forced labor. It is also a right or an immunity, let's call it a right, to engage in certain actions without control or interference. Now, generally speaking, liberty has the meaning to us as being free from some kind of constraint that limits our personal advancement, some kind of constraint that tends to control advancement in a direction that's not ours to choose. Either one of those might be defined as liberty. To be able to do what we want to do the way we want to do it, without somebody trying to direct and force what direction we move in that. Now, just like I said about life, the road to liberty starts at one source, and our text verse shows that. Now, liberty, as the unsaved human heart sees it, can't be reality. Because the human, as I've already pointed out about life, the unregenerate human heart cannot and does not see the true definition of liberty, nor the true source for liberty. So let's connect some dots about why the human heart, unchanged, unregenerate, does not see the reality of liberty. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, the Bible tells us to minister in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now here, this last phrase I'm going to read you is the reason that lost human beings can never have the liberty that God would have humanity to have without a change in their souls. This phrase reads like this: that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. If you live on a plantation with a big tall fence, and you can't climb over that fence, but you're allowed to roam free out there, but any time the master of the plantation wants to have you do something, he can just get on his go-kart or his gator or whatever and ride out there and grab you up and throw you in the gator and bring you back to the house and put you to work. Are you really at liberty? You're roaming around the plantation. Why isn't that liberty? Because he can take you captive at his will. And that's exactly how lost humanity lives today, brothers and sisters. And that is not liberty. It's not liberty when the devil can take captive that human being that he wants to when he wants to. In Romans 6:16, Scripture gives us this warning: know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Notice the phrase there that draws our attention. Do you not know that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? And the lost person obeys the dictates of the devil, the dictates of his own depraved flesh. He follows those things. And so he's captive. He's a slave or a servant to those carnal inclinations and to the whims of the devil. But the Lord said in John chapter 8, verses 32 and 36, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see the contrast? Those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of salvation, they are taken captive by the devil at his will. But those who know the truth of the life of Christ, that truth makes them free. And that kind of freedom is the liberty that our text verse is talking about. Where the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's what we want to remember. Now, in the same way that you can't imprison a man inside a room that's got an unlocked door on one wall, you can't imprison a human creature who has discovered the unlocked door of the truth of God. You can't do it. They will break out. They will become free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. This country was founded as a result of a process, brothers and sisters, that started with a vision of a certain group of people that we could live and prosper and have a new productive level of freedom, have liberty, if you will, by breaking free from the oppression of England. At one time, these colonies that we once were was nothing more than a slave state to the nation of England. And a group of visionary men realized that God had given mankind the unalienable right of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And they realized that to break free of the oppressor was to gain a liberty and a freedom that they could get no other way. And the same rule applies to the lost man in his life of being undone. To break free from the slave master is to be free indeed. And the only way that freedom can happen is for the lost man to realize that the truth of salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that salvation is in Him and Him alone, and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to find the freedom and the liberty that He wants and needs. That's the only way it can happen. And so, all lost men remain in a state of enslavement unless they discover freedom, liberty, in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the truth of God.